Leaders. You're listening to Leaders.com.
الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وكفى بالله حسيبا صدق الله العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم Honorable brothers in Islam, mothers and sisters listening at home. From amongst the beautiful names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed this ummah with the name Al-Hasib. Al-Hasib is a very important attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hasib is often translated as Allah to be the reckoner, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the reckoner. The meaning of Al-Hasib, the scholars have explained, if it comes from the meaning of Hisab, Hasib from Hisab. Hisab means to count. In the Urdu language we say Hisab Kitab. Hisab Kitab. So Hisab means to count. And so Al-Hasib would mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the full count of everything that a person has done in his life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the full count of everything that he has done in this life. That is why on the day of Qiyamah, when his book of deeds will be given to him, and he will look at it himself, the words that will come out from his mouth will be, Ya Allah, everything has been recorded. لا يغادر صغيرة ولا كبيرة إلا أحصاها. Nothing small, nothing big, but everything has been mentioned. Even your cough that you are coughing, that is recorded. Even the symptoms of flu that you had when you were speaking, or you had your nose that was blocked, that is also recorded. And it's not like the computers that can anytime just give you the wrong information also. Everything will be recorded. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Hasib. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take a person to task, and that person will be accountable of everything that he has done. So one meaning of Al-Hasib is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take Hisab from him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hold him responsible, and he will be accountable for everything that he has done. That is one meaning. The second meaning of Al-Hasib, and the ulama have mentioned that both the meanings are applicable to this attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Hasib would also mean this. The second meaning is that Al-Hasib comes from the word Hasb. Hasb. And Hasb in the Arabic language means that Allah is sufficient and Allah is enough. course, we have the famous tasbih of the Quran. What a beautiful dua. Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. Hasbunallahu. What a tasbih of the Quran. Hasbunallahu. The same word, hasb. Hasb means Allah is sufficient. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sufficient for us. Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. That is why a man should make it his practice and his habit every day after Fajr and every day after Maghrib. Every day after Fajr and every day after Maghrib. Namaz. To read 7 times, Hasbi Allah, La ilaha illa hu, alayhi tawakkaltu, wa huwa rabbul arshil azim. Very simple. Hasbi Allah, La ilaha illa hu, alayhi tawakkaltu, wa huwa rabbul arshil azim. Read this 7 times, enjoy the day. Read this 7 times after Maghrib, enjoy your nights. It comes in the hadith which is in Abu Dawood Sharif. In the Sunan of Imam Abu Dawood, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, when a person reads 7 times this tasbih, morning and in the evening, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes it as his responsibility to protect him of the difficulties of this dunya and the hereafter. Imagine if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you shelter. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving you shield. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking care of you. There is absolutely no problem. And in Hayatul Sahaba it is written, even if this man reads the tasbih in the state of ghaflat, in the state of complete negligence, that his mind is somewhere else but he is just reading it, Hasbi Allah la ilaha, even then this dua has an effect. That is how powerful this dua is. Maulana Yunus Sahib has written a kitab called Momin Ka Hathiyar. Momin Ka Hathiyar. It's in Urdu and it's also in English. And for those who have the iPhone or Android, there is now an app which you can download. And if you just put in Momin Ka Hathiyar, Momin Ka, M-O-M-I-N, Momin Ka Hathiyar in Urdu, it gives you the complete book that you can read and you can choose either in English or either in Urdu. Very, very beautiful kitab in which the Sheikh has actually taken out, extracted important wazaif taken from the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and for people to read. And once you get into the habit, it takes you 7 minutes, bus. 6-7 minutes. Nothing more. But these are awrad that a person needs to read all the time. And so Al-Hasib, the name of Allah, means that Allah is sufficient. And Allah will take you to task. Allah will hold you responsible. Allah will hold you responsible and you will be accounted for everything that you have done. Now in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ حَسِيبًا. Allah is sufficient for hisab, for reckoning, for holding you accountable. Allah is sufficient. In Surah Nisa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ حَسِيبًا. Allah has the power of everything and everything that you have done is recorded and Allah is enough, Allah is sufficient for the reckoning and questioning you and holding you accountable of the things that you are doing. Now ulama have mentioned that what lessons are we to take from this name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is Ya Hasibu. What is it? Ya Hasibu. The first thing the scholars have mentioned, what we need to understand, is that it is only befitting for Allah to judge people. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has the knowledge of everything, and Allah is the one who will take the hisab. Allah will take and hold every individual responsible and hold him accountable of his actions. And so what we need to do in this dunya is that we should not engage in activities in which we want to hear the aib, any sinister character of people, and that we find faults and picking at faults and always criticizing people and never taking people in a positive way but always in a negative manner. And this is aib. We find aib in everybody. This is the problem. This is the problem. This is the problem. This is the problem. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, I am Hasib. Who has put you in this power that you start finding faults in other people? That you start finding faults in other people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. Allah save us. It is the 18th of Zilhijjah. It is the 18th of Zilhijjah. And I don't want to turn away from my topic. I want to come back, inshallah, to this topic. But there is this yearning inside me. There is something that wants to splash out. And if you allow me, can I take it out?
Yes.
You won't be yawning. I'm not like Mufti Menk. I'm a very simple man. And what happened on the 18th of Zilhijjah? What happened on the 18th of Zilhijjah? Brothers, do you recall anything? The Shahadat of Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala. If you remember, we covered this. The Shahadat of Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala. And you know, when this young man got married to the daughter of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Ruqayya. Hazrat Ruqayya. The first daughter, Hazrat Ruqayya, that got married to Hazrat Uthman. Hazrat Ruqayya. When the nikah was done, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the most beautiful couple that the eyes of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has ever seen is Uthman and Ruqayya. You know, when you get married to a lady, sometimes somebody will say they are the most perfect couple. You know, the height is the same. Everything is the same. Sometimes you get the husband to be very tall, the wife to be short. Sometimes the wife to be very tall and the husband to be short. And sometimes there's a lot of difference between the two. But sometimes the two are made for each other. The two are made for each other. Perfection, you know, beautiful. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that, subhanallah, look at the two, the most beautiful couple. That is Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala. Talking on the subject of picking faults and criticizing people. Don't forget what I'm saying, that Allah is Al-Hasib. Allah will hold you accountable of what you say. And remember, Hazrat Uthman was shaheed in the city of Madinatul Munawwara. In the city of Madinatul Munawwara. If I was to ask you, do you recall who was the first to embrace Islam? It was from the men folks. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. Now, if we go in line, what number is of Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala?
Sir?
When did he embrace Islam? He was the fourth. He was the... Now imagine the fourth person to embrace Islam. And he embraced Islam like how Siddiq Akbar embraced Islam, without a debate, without arguing. His character was so beautiful that there are very few Sahabi who can say this. This man did not indulge in any kind of liquor or fornication even before accepting Islam, and of course nothing after Islam. Very naturally, in his innate fitrat, he was a man of sound character. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once looked at the masjid and he said, you know, I want that plot. Who is going to buy for me that plot? There was an open space outside Masjid Nabawi, so that I can connect it to Masjid Nabawi, and I give basharat of Jannat for that man. Allahu Akbar. Who else? You know, Hazrat Usman stands up, 25,000 dinar given. Buys it, Ya Rasulullah, this is yours. Now, these were great companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Very soon, the month of Muharram will begin. Am I right? In this country, we have seen that the Shia community is working very, very hard to spread their filth. You'll see bus stops, banners, Hussein, the warrior, Hazrat Hussein did this, Hazrat Hussein, leaflets, this and that. And we, the people who are the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'at, we wake up very late. What is the problem with us? We wake up very late. Once everything is done, then we say, Ya Allah. When everything is done, the damage is done, then we say, what do we say? Ya Allah. And then you even get people who like to criticize the ulama. Oh, Mali Sahab, is this all you talk about here? Why, if we don't talk about this, Allah will hold us responsible on the day of Qiyamah. Otherwise, go and find another imam who will say to you, yes, speak this, yes, don't speak this, yes, nay. The pulpit is amanat. What is it? Amanat. These are people, the worst of the worst. Who are they? The worst of the worst. Far more worse than the Ahle Yahud, Nasara, anyone that can come to your mind. Historically, if you have a look, the damage and the nuksan the Shia community have done to the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jamaat and the Muslims today, and you see it with your eyes today, especially in Syria, what is happening. Allahu Akbar, it is only with these people. And it is with the Shia community, what they say is that they openly swear at Sahaba-e Kiram Ajmain. I have actually my phone in my pocket. I can actually show you a clip, but because we are in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we'll keep that, you know, in mind. But there is there one scholar that does his bayan, and in his bayan, he is saying that the dog of Ariel Sharon is better than Abu Bakr and Umar. What did he say? What did he say? A lot of people don't even know this. Allah give jazai khair to our ulama. Allah give jazai khair to the Pakistani ulama of Sipahi Sahaba, who have worked hard to open up Shiism in front of the ulama and the awamun nas. Allah give jazai khair to Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullah alayh, Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawzi rahmatullah alayh, our akabirin that have written books and books so people understand. Can you imagine hatred for someone to say the dog of Ariel Sharon is better than Hazrat Abu Bakr and Umar radiyallahu ta'ala. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. The worst of the worst people, my respected brothers. The worst of the worst. Every month, in the month of Muharram, you will see our Muslim people are sitting in front of the TV channels, and these people are still crying and ripping their shirts apart and knifing themselves and, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein. When they go for Hajj, instead of saying, Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik, Labbaik, I have heard with my own ears, I have seen with my own eyes, Ya Hussein, Labbaik, Ya Hussein, Labbaik, Ya Hussein, Labbaik. That is why, Alhamdulillah, my respected brothers, Allah has blessed us with this ni'mah that we are from amongst the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jamaat. And don't forget, on the 18th of Zil Hijjah, look at the date today, what does it say? 18th of Zil Hijjah. It is the shahadat of who? Hazrat Uthman radiyallahu ta'ala. And who are the people who assassinated Hazrat Uthman radiyallahu ta'ala? The same Shias. The thugs that came from Egypt. The same old people, my respected brothers. If you people feel that this Maulana is talking bakwas or something wrong, then after the bayan, come and sit with me. Never mind if other ulama don't speak. And when they don't speak, they will be answerable to Allah. If these ulama cannot speak on the day of Qiyamah, Allah will question them. Because this fitna is spreading, spreading, spreading so much. Allahu Akbar, we wonder that where and who is giving them the finance. So much money they have. Qadianis and Shias. Even in universities you'll see leafleting, 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 leafleting. Hussein, Labbaik, Hussein, Ahle Bayt. Allahu Akbar, as if we have no connection with the Ahle Bayt. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. So what I'm requesting to you, my respected brothers, I'm making intention, and we are a few ulama throughout UK, that we are making an intention that in the UK, in the month of Muharram, we are going to open up this topic, inshallah. What are we going to do? Open up this topic in Jumu'ah. So our people understand. And so what I request you is, inshallah, if you can come for Jumu'ah. What is it? Jumu'ah, not the evening session. Evening session you must come, but we need to finish the Asma'ul Husna. But during Jumu'ah, and we can talk about who were the people who actually assassinated Hazrat Hussain radiyallahu ta'ala. Who were the people? And so inshallah ta'ala, these topics are very, very important. And to explain to the little young and the youth that are here, and for us to understand that this should be in our minds, that alhamdulillah, who we are. There is no sympathy. There is no sympathy. Hum mar jayenge, mere azizo, agar humne haath bhi diya. You know, for a roti, for it to cook, you need enough heat. What is it? But if there's no heat and you put the atta, will it cook? You get some people, that level of iman unfortunately is not there, that it's not going to cook, they don't understand. Because that heat is not there. They don't understand the sacrifice of Sahaba-i Kiram Ajma'in. And who these people were. And how much they have done. And how kufriya it is for anyone to actually speak evil of Sahaba-i Kiram Ajma'in. And so just giving you in a nutshell, Al-Hasib means that the first sabak given to us by the ulama is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, I am the one who will hold people accountable. You are not in the position to judge anyone. Now can you imagine? The man who is Imamul Anbiya. Who is he? Imamul Anbiya. The greatest of all the prophets. According to the Shia community, 99.99 every Sahabi left Islam after the demise of Huzur alayhi salam. Are you trying to say that even a simple imam like me, I could have my flock of a few people? I could have my flock of a few people. The Nabi who is Imamul Anbiya, he did not have the power, al-iyazu billah, to create such great individual sahaba, which Allah speaks, radiyallahu anhum wa radwan. They don't believe in the Quran, they don't believe in your hajj, they don't believe in your salah, they don't believe in your adhan. Allahu Akbar, when will this ummah wake up? And I am talking not to incite anyone, I am talking to educate people. Very important. If you want to learn the Quran, learn the tools. Alif, Ba, Ta, Tha, Jim. Learn the history of Islam. So that your iman becomes strong. So that you understand. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is what? Al-Hasib. Very, very important. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also mentioned, Inna Allah sari'ul hisab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take hisab very quickly. What is hisab? Accounting. Your accounting. Whatever you did. Allah has the full count. What all your actions very quickly. In case somebody feels that, you know, you get some very complex cases that actually go on for years before a judge can give any decision. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that, you know, in case you feel that on the day of Qiyamah some issues, Allah is saying, listen to me. I am Hasib. And Allah says, Inna Allah sari'ul hisab. Hisab will be done chutki mein. I like the word Urdu. Chutki mein hisab hoga. Chutki mein hisab hoga. Very quickly. Hisab will be done. Very quickly. Everything, huh? This person there, that person there, this person. Quickly, quickly. All the years. Even if the life of Nuh alayhi salam was given to you 100 times, within seconds your hisab will be done. That is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us from His name, Ala kullukum ra'in wa kullukum mas'oolun an ra'iyatihi. Every one of you will be held accountable of the responsibility that is given to you. From Al-Hasib, ulama have mentioned, we are not to criticize others unless it is justified in Sharia. Number two is that we have to be responsible people. What are we supposed to be? Responsible people. If there is no sense of responsibility, then when Allah takes hisab, it will be very difficult. A man says, you know, I didn't take any responsibility. No, no. The father has to take responsibility. The mother needs to take responsibility. Husband needs to take responsibility. Wife needs to take responsibility. Your children need to take responsibility. Your neighbors need to take responsibility. Problem today is everyone wants their own hukuk, their own rights and their own haq, but nobody wants to give the rights of others. But what is my right? Why I need my rights? Someone has taken something away from me. A man and a woman needs to be very much responsible, and he needs to understand the name Al-Hasib. This is what Sharia wants from us, that we be responsible. Sometimes you will find a man has divorced the wife, and if the wife has custody to the children, bas, khatam. She will blackmail the husband, and she will not allow the husband to see his own children. Own children. Why? Vengeance. Khud ka gussa. Own vengeance. But you don't understand, your children in the middle are suffering. A man has given divorce and he's a rich man. And for some reason she left. And then she will now say, you know what, I'm going to take you to the cleaners. 50% of what you have, your factory, your house, your wealth, your Barclays account, your Lloyd's account, your account in... Where do they hide the money? Swiss account. And Fala account. And in your account in Ireland. Everywhere. Give it to me. I'll take you to the cleaners. Why? Ye tumhare baap ke paise the. Tumhare abba ji ne tumhe paise diye the. That you are taking this man to the cleaners. Why? Why do you not fear Allah? If you wish not to stay or remain with this man, leave him. You get married to somebody else and Allah will open the doors for you. If this money belongs to you, then yes, Sharia says this money is yours. If this money does not belong to you, what right have you got? Here, no, is the law of the country. You'll find some people who don't distribute inheritance properly. Somebody will say, no, you know what, I've done more work, so the greater portion becomes mine, and the other heirs are deprived. All wrong, bhai. You are a Muslim before anything else. The distribution of wealth has to be equal amongst the children. Understand and consult the ulama first. So this is hisab and kitab, which we need to understand, that we have to be very much responsible people also with our neighbors, everyone that is around. And everyone has got their own mindset. A few days ago at the Islam Information Center, Hafiz Saab was there. There were three Christians who came. And these Christians were qualified in the Bible. And they have qualified as clergies or to become a pastor in the future. And they met me and they said, we want a meeting with you and we want to talk about Isa, Jesus, Isa alayhi salam. I said, yes, of course, let's talk. So anyway, we started talking, it's a long subject. But then they said that, you know, we Christians also glorify the name of Allah. I said, yes, but not like the Muslims. Not like the Muslims. We glorify Him 5 times a day. Do you do that? You know, 5 times a day, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Who does it like the believers do? Adhan, Allahu Akbar. Wherever you go, Allahu Akbar. Anything you see, Allahu Akbar. I said, nobody glorifies Allah like how we glorify Allah. Then he said something very ajeeb, very funny. He said, well, you know, I have met many people who pray their salah by force. I said, really? In my entire life, I have not met anyone who's praying salah by force. It's amazing. You have met someone who prays salah by force. I said, if we were to force Muslims to pray salah, we would have 1,000 masjids in Leicester. We would have 1,000 masjids in Leicester. If you come to our masjid, you'll see that the mosque is empty. The masjid are empty. So many people don't come. And then talking about freedom and this and that. So he said to me that, you know, if your daughter was not praying salah and she's 14, 15, and if you force her to pray namaz and if she does not pray salah, will you cut ties from her? Will you break relationship with her? And I said, what are you trying to get at? So he says, no, well, you know, morally it's wrong. Morally, it's wrong to force someone. I said, is it? I said, okay. Forget the salah. If I was to force my child to do his school homework, despite the fact that he does not want to do the homework, and he is not interested in his homework, and he does not want to do his homework, but the mother and father are forcing him, no, do your homework. Do you think that is also morally wrong? There's force here, ne? Do you think that is morally wrong? Ab wo ghabra gaya. Maulvi to bara wo nikla tez. Oh. I said, no, tell me, is that morally wrong? He goes, no, it's not morally wrong. I said, why? Because, well, education will put bread and butter on the table. I said, true? I said, who gives bread and butter? Who gives bread and butter? Who gives bread and butter, by your education? Go further back. And you get to Allah. Where is it? And make dua, inshallah. I'm very hopeful they will become Muslims. Inshallah ta'ala. The way they were listening and talking and interesting. Even after leaving, they were saying, you know, we want to come back and listen to what you have said. It makes sense. So I said, that is why we are forcing our children to pray namaz. So it's easy for them to have bread and butter in this world and also the garden of bliss in the hereafter. He says, yeah, very true. I said, is there any law in the world that stops me from enforcing good morals to my son and daughter? Why are we so scared for? Of course we can pressure our children. We are parents, we want to teach them good morals. We have to tell them, like how a teacher will say, do your homework, do this. If a person is not well, the doctor will force him with medication. The mother will force him with medication. No, take it, you have to take it. By force every time does not mean bad. But people like to twist. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give us the tawfiq. Responsibility, that is very important. A man came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 2-3 minutes, complaining about his neighbor. O Nabi of Allah, my neighbor has made life difficult for me. And it's true, my respected brothers. It's true. Wo mere neighbor the, bichare Hindu the, lekin itne achhe the. Jab wo chale gaye, to bahut takleef hui. Very nice people. They were not even Muslims, but very good people. And if you have the wrong neighbors, Allahu Akbar, it's living hell for you. Living hell for you. That is why before you buy a property, look at your neighbors. This is what the ulama have said. Look at your neighbors. Don't look at the plot and the house. Who are your neighbors to your right and to your left? Allahu Akbar. And talking about neighbors, tell me, who are the neighbors of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Bhai, bolo na bhai. These Sunni people are very quiet. The Shias want to take knives. And these people can't even talk. Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu ta'ala an. Who are the neighbors? Hazrat Abu Bakr. Allah chose Hazrat Abu Bakr and Umar to be the neighbors of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even if you don't like it, to knock zameen par ragar, but the fact is that they are with Huzur alayhi salam. And Mal'un Khomeini the shaitan, Mal'un Khomeini the shaitan, imagine, he says, I am the spiritual leader. What is he? Has he been to Makkah? Has he seen Kaaba? This shaitan has not even seen the Kaaba. This shaitan has not even seen Muzdalifah. This shaitan has not even seen Arafah. This shaitan has not even seen Masjid-e-Nabwi. This shaitan has not even stood in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this shaitan is the spiritual leader of the shayateen. A man who is also deprived from Makkah and Medina Munawwara, bhai. Allahu Akbar. Koi bara admi ho. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to bless him to go there, bhai. Bless him to go there. And so, talking about neighbors, he is complaining on Nabi of Allah, rights of neighbors. This man has made life difficult for me. Look at the master plan of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, oh, he's giving you a lot of trouble. Come. Huzur alayhi salam is whispering in his ears. He says, are you sure you want me to do this? Yes, I want you to do this. Who is saying that? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This man takes his bed outside in the front garden where people are walking. All the cupboards, shoes, food, everything, the little that he has, everything that is inside the house is put outside. And when night comes, he is sleeping outside. In the morning, he wakes up outside. Everything now, the activities are not in the house. Where are they? Outside. So now, obviously, when people see what kind of a strange person this is, he is, that he's got a house, a dwelling, and he's still outside. So people start to, you know, say to him, bhai, what's this? Why don't you go inside? How can I go inside? Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told me to stay outside because my neighbor is giving me a lot of problems. He's giving me a lot of grief. So to stay away from his grief, Allah's Nabi told me to stay outside. When they would hear the name of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, everyone would give la'nat to him. May the la'nat of Allah be on him. May the la'nat. Every day people were giving him la'nat. Now the wife and the husband, they're seeing that by everybody, all the pastors, they're giving us la'nat and baddua. By have some shame. Call this man inside and stop giving him any taklif. So that person himself came pleading and begging, by, I will help you put all your furniture inside, and from now on I will never give you any trouble. From now on I will never give you any trouble. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him the solution. Allahu Akbar. And so the meaning of al-hasib is that we have to be responsible, and we are not in the position to criticize anyone else unless the sharia demands from us. Unless it is accepted in sharia. There is much we can talk about the name of al-hasib, but inshallah ta'ala this much is enough. Just to remember that inshallah we will have our khususi programs of Muharram in Jumu'ah. Try to come inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward all of you. اللهم تقبل منا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم نستغفرك ونتوب إليك سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.